come to the village. Down with the village, bro.
Okay, so welcome to the village. Welcome to the village. This is your man KJ. So, in the village today, I got my man Brandon Stepp, the David Harp Foundation. Brother, how what's good with you, man? How you doing?
Doing well, doing well.
That's what's up, man. So we are here in the village. No live show, as you guys can see here, or just hearing. It's just audio. Yes. But this is a special show I wanted to do, and I'm definitely happy to be here because this is a program that reaches out to the youth.
Absolutely.
And so, I'm gonna throw this first question to you first, man. The David Harp Foundation, who started this? Where, like, this isn't a well-known thing. If my wife hadn't pointed this out to me, I would have never heard about this program.
Yes.
So
yes.
Tell me about David Harp Foundation.
I will. First, I'll shout out to your wife.
Yeah,
she's
definitely
an amazing lady.
Yeah, so. She's awesome. Yeah. Thank you, brother.
So the David Harp Foundation was founded in 2009 officially, but I'm actually the founder. And I founded it out of a garage in Southeast San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
So actually the community of Emerald Hills. And so I was sitting in a studio that I built in the garage when a young man named Rayvon came and knocked on the studio door one day. And initially I told this kid to, you know, I just kind of just shoot him off. Like, no, he wanted to rap. And I was like, dude, I don't have time for that. I was freelance working, had stepped out of a corporate position, stepped out on faith to do music. And
mm-hmm.
I was like, man, I don't got time.
Yeah.
I don't have time, young man. But eventually, he was persistent, you know. So I gave him a studio date. And the story's crazy because he came back and I told him. I was like, hey, man, all right, school ends at 2:30. You be here at 3. You know what I mean? And we'll do your session. I'll give you an hour. He said, all right. And that dude showed up at about 4:25. Yeah. I was like, nah, bro, you missed your set.
You missed your time, homie.
You missed it. Sorry. I was like, bro, if you're on time, if you're early, you're on time. If you're on time, you're late. And if you're late, you're fired. And I just closed the garage door. But, and, but you know, I gave him another shot.
Okay.
That time, he was like 30 minutes early.
Okay. He got himself together. That's good.
Got it together, yeah. And so that first session, when that young man came in, I got to see the day melt off of him and the neighborhood just mm-hmm. melt off of him. You know, the things that he was struggling with going through.
Yeah.
It was just a kid again. This is a 17-year-old kid going to Lincoln High at the time. And he just, the day was gone as he was doing music. And something changed in me that day.
Okay.
Know, I was like, man, music is a powerful platform. I never really realized that until that moment.
Okay.
You know? So fast forward, I started working with youth. I was letting them trade grades for studio time. So if they got an A, they'd have an hour. If they had a B, a 30 minutes. C, nothing. D, nothing. F, nothing. That's how I was doing it. I was like, at some point, we're going to figure out what it's going to take to motivate you to get some grades if you want to do this, because you got to pay to play. That kind of was my thing. And at the time, I was trying to mentor the youth as well.
Mm-hmm.
And that wasn't going very well, man. It was rough. So in the process of trying to figure out mentorship, I actually stumbled upon a really rough time in my life.
Okay.
And my wife was going through some things with a pregnancy, and it was rough, man. And I came to the studio. A young man named Austin was in the studio at the time, who I was really trying to mentor this kid. And it came to a place where I was in the studio hurting, man. I just took the mask off. I was trying to fake it. I just took that mask off and said, you know, I'm going through it, struggling. Yeah. And in that moment, he did too. And I was able to make this connection for the first time.
Okay.
So really learned what mentorship was. Fast forward, you know, not 2009, incorporated, and then started going into Lincoln, started going into SDYS, San Diego Youth Services, mm-hmm. doing the homeless shelter thing, and was taking the studio stuff everywhere. 2012, we came here to Moniker Warehouse, which is downtown, 16th and G. The spot opened up and built a full-on studio for these youth. And now we're here. We've been here for a while now, kind of keeping it under the radar because really that was my intent the whole time.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I don't want the hype. I'm just trying to really work with these kids. But yeah. As we've grown, I've had to grow with it in order to make more opportunities for not just the kids, but for the people that are passionate about working with them.
Yeah, definitely.
So, you know, I didn't have a choice but to get out, start telling the story, so we can continue to build this. And then also start to build one. My heart is in Southeast. I want to put one back in Southeast. I want to put one in the South Bay and in North County.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's what's up, man.
Yeah, so that's where we at.
So,
but I want to say, too, it's a pleasure to host you today here. Because
yeah, definitely, because this is real, man. Like, Village, we're in a studio right now. Yeah. We are not at the Dream Castle. Yeah. You will not hear any dogs barking. you will not hear any cats fighting, and you won't hear any kids watching Yu-Gi-Oh or anything else. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're in a studio. Exactly. I gotta close the door and tell the kids, can y'all give daddy an hour and a half? That's absolutely all I need. That's and it. They keep it down. The dogs, hell no. You know, that's how it goes.
I feel it.
But so let me ask you this, man. Yep. The name David Hart,
yes,
Foundation, mm-hmm. Where'd that name come from?
Everybody, that's the first question. So I'm a man of faith.
Okay.
And so in the Old Testament, there's a story with David and Goliath, everybody knows that, but where he plays this harp and his tormenting spirit leaves a king.
Oh.
And it's like, man, like I said, when that young man walked in, that's what I got to see, the power of music to really just soothe the soul, you know?
Okay. And
yeah, so that's the name. So now I get called David Sharp all the time
because okay.
That's, that's kind of how it looks on paper. So, but I'm not David.
And I was trying to figure that out because I'm like, okay, his name is Brandon.
Right. Right.
I'm like, so David Harp, I'm thinking maybe some like a father figure or right. something like that motivated you to name it that. Mm-hmm. I didn't know. So
yeah.
Be it. But that's yeah. actually really beautiful, man.
No,
that you picked that something biblical like that.
Yeah.
That's real cool.
No, I appreciate
definitely,
it.
Definitely.
Yes, sir.
So like you said, going forward in the future, man, you're looking to basically take this all over San Diego.
Yeah.
Is there possibilities of collaborating with other cities at this point? Is that something you're looking into eventually?
Not at this point. My heart, I got a little city called Puerto Plata in the Dominican Republic. That's my heart. And I got some folks down there. They're not my folks, but just traveling down there with another brother, James Gordon, a New Era Outreach. So there's some places where I have dreams of putting them,
mm-hmm.
International even. But
yeah.
Also other cities. I mean, the model is very simple, and I know that it works with these youth, especially with this demographic. So, I mean, we could do anything with it, you know?
And that's the thing. You know, mm-hmm. kids are motivated by the simplest things. Like,
sure.
You know, you don't got a kid with a cell phone. It's whatever.
Right.
But you're actually allowing these kids to come in and get some studio time. They can come in here, mm-hmm. drop their lyrics as long as you allow them to.
Right.
But at the same time, like you said, it's pay to play.
Yes.
If you not bringing in these grades, guess mm-hmm. what you're not going to do?
That's it.
You're not going to be in my studio. You're not going to waste my time.
That's it.
You're not going to waste nobody else's time.
Right.
So that's motivating. As a kid, that would have motivated me.
Yeah.
Especially if music is your passion.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, if you're not a sports kid or anything like that, like, what do you do after school?
Yep. And that's exactly who these kids are. So we work with a demographic, a kid that's
forgotten, for lack of a better word.
Exactly. They're in the back of the classroom with the headphones on. They don't want to hear what you're talking about. Some of them aren't going to school. We work with a ton of what people say at risk. We redefine the term at risk to mean lacking sufficient mentorship. So anybody can be at risk of not succeeding or reaching their full potential,
mm-hmm.
including myself, right? I have mentors in my life. And so in that, it's kind of broad, but we narrow it. We work a lot with the juvenile justice system. So we have kids that are on probation, parole. We have a ton of kids that are actually coming out of the foster care system and also homeless. So from homeless shelters.
And I'm sure that's a huge impact on them.
Absolutely.
It has to be.
Yeah. So we use the studio in that case to get kids to check themselves into the shelter for the night. And when they do, then they can come to the studio. Okay. It's always about driving a behavior that's positive for them. So we trade good grades now. We trade behaviors. We trade probation, violation, whatever it is that is positive for that particular youth. We'll mm-hmm. sit down. We can make a record deal. I made one with a kid today. If he goes to school 5 days a week, yeah, he hasn't been going to school at all. He's got a court date on the 31st. If he goes to school 5 days a week, he can get that solo studio session that he needs. You know, he's like, man, I want to rock by myself. I'm like, all right, I'll get you beats and I'll get you that solo studio session if you just hit 5 days a week.
Okay. You know, this is making me think about my beats. I have two beats guys that do my intros. I'm going to talk with them and see if they got some stuff they can donate.
That would be tight.
I'm definitely going to make sure I do that. I'm going to shoot them a message later on tonight.
I appreciate
it. Yeah, man, because they produce my intro beats, my outro beats, all that. That's cool. And they just got stuff lined up. So I'm going to talk to them and try to get you some, so I can get some stuff for you.
Yeah, that's love, man.
Yeah, so, for sure.
Even the kids here, they got, I mean, I'll play some stuff for you. And matter of fact, maybe we could throw one of the kids' beats on in one, in, you know, maybe for your outro this time.
Okay.
That'd be cool.
I'm with that.
All right.
I'm with that, man. Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. I'm all about pushing these kids for positive things, man. Because at the end of the day, like, I mean, I'm not old. I'm only 36.
Right.
But I'm not a kid either. You know, I'm not a kid. These kids coming up now, they got to have something to do.
Yep.
Like I just said, every kid ain't a sports kid. Every kid ain't a brainiac.
That's it.
But if you find something that interests them, they're going to do right because they want to be able to get the access to what they want to do.
Exactly.
So this is definitely a great program, man. No, definitely.
Appreciate it.
So in regards to, we've already talked about the guidelines and stuff like that. With this program, as far as your funding and things of that nature, like I just discussed, you know, trying to get my boys to donate some beats, all the equipment, the services, how is this being taken care of, man?
Whew. It's funding is a tough thing when you do a nonprofit stuff. But to be honest, man, literally the community has stepped up, not just the community in San Diego, but the pro audio community has stepped up.
Okay.
Avid, Sony, Discovery Channel. We got some major people that
Channel. Okay.
Right? Yeah. I mean, they're
Sony. That's huge, bro.
But also not just them, but average everyday people, $5 a month donations, $10 a month donations. Like that's how we're doing this. And, really only in about the last 6 months have we started to actually write grants.
Wow.
So it's been amazing to come to this place without having any grant support. So as a businessman, but not having a nonprofit background, my first thing was, okay, I'm going to fund this. How do you fund a nonprofit? People said grants. I went the grant route. They were like, well, what grants have you already written? And I was like, well, I haven't written any. It's like that catch 22. So I was like, you know what? Let's go a different route. So engaged the Discovery Channel. One of our board members, Brenton Miller, who was there from the very beginning, worked his way up at Discovery as we were growing as an organization. Now he's a vice president.
Oh, okay. Wow.
He's very, very, very influential guy. But we came together with this idea to be able to sell Discovery's corporate trash, which was depreciated items, all kinds of broadcast equipment that you wouldn't know, like the slow motion machine that's in the truck for the NFL, that kind of stuff. That depreciated off their books. They couldn't donate it, so they were throwing it in the trash.
Wow.
So we talked to them over a 9-month period and finally got them to agree to donate this so that we could sell it. So everything that you see in here was built with corporate trash.
Well, I never even heard of that.
Yeah, so
that's crazy.
Just thinking outside, had to think outside the box in order to come up with the way to fund this, because like I said, the traditional philanthropic model wasn't really accessible at that point, you know. That's
what's up, man. I'm at looking at myself.
I'd never
heard corporate trash.
Yes,
that's something. I'm at to look into myself,
real
man.
Thing. So they buy something 4 years later, it's worth nothing to them on their books because they've taken the depreciated value in tax write-offs. So at the end of that fourth year, if they sell it, they pay capital gains tax. So they literally throw it away. They pay somebody to take it, and they take it away in recycling, where it ends up in China somewhere, where they strip it down, and it, you know what I mean? But why not give it away?
Yeah.
I mean, I'll be right there at the dumpster. You set it in the dumpster. I take it out of the dumpster.
That's it.
It's useful still. You know what I mean? So
that's what's up, man. I'm about to look into that. Okay, so let me ask you this. In targeting, I hate the word targeting.
Sure.
But we'll say the word targeting. Mm-hmm. We're targeting kids.
Absolutely.
Right? My wife, you work with her on this program.
Yep.
And that's phenomenal. Mm-hmm. What other services are being offered by David Harp?
Okay.
What other services? I mean, I see that you got the music thing going, and that's huge. Mm-hmm. But like you said earlier, some of these kids are homeless. Some of these kids are, you know, dealing with all kind of juvenile delinquency issues and things of that nature. Are there other counseling services involved, basically, is what I want to know.
So the great part about what we do is I don't have to reinvent the wheel. I think most organizations come at, you know, help in a singular mindset where it's like, we gotta be the one organization. That is not how I get down.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, when I was building this from day one, it was about partnership. The program itself came out organizationally came out of the understanding that I'm not going to recreate systems that are already there if they work. So that's how I actually met your wife, because she's providing a service to the community that I don't provide. I what we do here is engage students very, very, very intentionally, using music as a platform and building a mentorship relationship.
Yep.
Now, with someone like your wife, I can come along and if she's having issues with a youth, they come here, she brings them here. Now, all of a sudden, she's a hero. You see what I'm saying? So whether it's a school teacher, a counselor, mental health situations, right? Because these kids are suffering from a lot. What we do is we use this as a springboard.
Gotcha.
So we only partner. There's no other way for a kid to get in here besides partnership. If a kid comes to the door and knocks and says, I want to get in the studio, I'm saying, where are you coming from? Are you coming? Is it a school? Is it a shelter? Is it a group home? Is it a whatever it is? I need a referring partner so that I can have accountability on the back end so that you're doing what you're supposed to be doing outside of here.
Exactly.
You see what I'm saying?
That's exactly what you're saying.
So all those other things that these kids need are in the community and they're accessible, but we link them with that service and allow that service to work, and then we take that service to the next level because we have what they really want to do. See what I'm saying? A lot of like kids, I don't want to go to the counseling center. Okay, great. Well, if you don't want to go to the counseling center, then you can't rock in the studio. All right, I'm down to go to the counseling center. What do I got to do? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's the point. I mean, and for me, my heart is these kids. Like, my heart is not organizations or nonprofits. Like, my heart is the best for what these kids are.
Yep.
And that's why I quit the corporate route to do this. I didn't do it to, you know, make a ton of money and rule the world. I did it so that we could really make a dent with these kids. And that's what's happening. Yeah, that's what's happening. It's an intentional thing, right? You gotta you gotta make that decision and say, this is what I'm here for, and I'm willing to put it on the line for that, which means I don't need to be the superstar and I don't need to be the one that's saving the whole world when your wife is out there doing that side of it. So
Bruh.
We link, you know what I mean?
Bruh, trust me, she is.
I know she is.
She is. She's a lot of late nights. Trust me. I'd be like, baby.
Where you at?
There's been a few nights I've done that. So I get where you're coming from.
Mm-hmm.
But this is absolutely, I'm just saying, I'm kind of in awe here because like I said earlier, man, this isn't something that I've heard of.
Mm.
If she hadn't brought this to me,
right,
I would have never known about you.
It's crazy.
So in the future, I'm wondering, you know, I get it, this is a nonprofit and you're not looking to make a bunch of money, but
no, but don't get it twisted. We need some money.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, I understand that. But I'm saying in the future,
absolutely,
are we looking to promote more?
Sure.
You know what I mean? Sure. Because I personally would love to shout you out at least once a week on my own show.
That's cool.
And be like, appreciate hey, y'all, if you got this, go down there and talk to him.
Yeah, you know,
because I live in this city as well. I've been here. I've only been here about 15, 16 years.
Yeah, you're from here now, though.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, I rock the hats, everything.
Absolutely.
This is it. I'm a San Diegan, right? And I'm not going nowhere.
Yeah.
But as far as getting these kids, getting more and more kids in here, is it possible for, as far as promoting, are you comfortable with people saying, hey, go check him out? You know, I mean, the referral process, obviously.
Right.
But are you comfortable with kids saying, hey, I was referred by this person, mm-hmm. and next thing you know, you look up, you got 30, 40 extra kids.
So right now I have to say no, and that's sad.
Okay.
All right, so let me tell you why. We serve 200 plus students annually, 6 days a week right now.
Wow.
So you see, so right now Kevin's in the studio. He sees how small of a place this is. He hasn't seen the other couple studios we have, but we're in about 9, cumulatively 1,000 square feet, which is smaller than the average home in San Diego, right?
Yeah, 3-bedroom home.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, we're blessed to be here. This is a great spot, but we're at capacity. So I'm in the process right now of growing into more studio space and multiplying what we do.
Okay.
So right now we're actively turning away kids, which breaks, wow. that breaks my heart.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you know what I mean? Of course, but right. you have to do what's safe for the program.
Yeah.
Obviously.
We just don't have the room, and we don't have the room because we don't have the resources. So, those resources that are needed to take this to the next level, those particular resources are what we're really looking for.
Okay.
And that's what will allow us to grow to that place where we can just open the doors. Because my heart is to open the floodgates. Let's go.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, I sat in a meeting with your wife a couple of days ago with the probation department. We're going behind bars into East Mesa to start the program, and we're going to start transitioning youth out of East Mesa back into the community and allowing them to have this as a home. So 6 weeks behind bars where they're doing this music, and then knowing that when they come out, they can come here. So they're not going back into the same situation that they were in, but they mm-hmm. have accountability and mentorship when they get out. So that being said, like, there's so many opportunities to do good. If we can multiply this studio in other places, and then you know, hey, that's literally
sky's the limit.
Boom, boom. Yeah, we can have that multiplier effect.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's where we're at, and it's a tough place. When you hit capacity and there's a demand, that, I mean, I get calls sometimes. I'm like, all right, we're going to find a spot, and I'm going to tuck it in here. I'm going to try to. It's hard, though, when you're limited space, limited time, so many hours in the day that you can mm-hmm. actually really work with kids because they're either in school or it's too late. You know what I mean? So we're trying our best to maximize what we do and have.
You know? You're doing an amazing job, man.
I appreciate it.
Like, just for the simple fact, like I said, I haven't heard of this program, but you, like you said, you have over 200 kids.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's a lot of kids that you're helping. That's making you're making a bright future for them, because you got to think about how many other kids can't get to this, can't have access to this for one reason or another. Mm-hmm. And so I'm definitely going to put you on my prayer list,
man,
bro.
Because I need that.
Because you're doing a huge thing. Everyone mm-hmm. thinks, oh, it's San Diego. Mm-hmm. No, it's still San Diego. There's still kids that are going through some things.
Absolutely.
You know, just because you think of San Diego, see the sun, the beach, that everything is all great and grand and wonderful. Mm-hmm. That's not true at all.
No.
We like any other major city. We got our issues. Kids have issues. Everyone had issues. Mm-hmm. So,
matter of fact, there's over 23,000 homeless youth. And people don't understand that. It's like, that's a huge number. But when you talk about homeless, you're talking about like jumping from house to house sometimes, or couch surfing, or their families are couch surfing at this point. We have some severe issues in the city with low income housing and the lack thereof, that people don't understand that really affects youth, especially teens, because when teens hit that age, they can kind of be on their own. They're more of a liability sometimes, and they end up going on their own.
Mm-hmm.
There's really an epidemic, and it's really not good for kids. It's really not. It sets up for all kinds of stuff. Addiction.
Yeah, there's no guidance.
Exactly. I mean, and the guidance, I mean, when someone's in a situation where maybe because they got hurt, or because, you know, they can't find a job, where they are now couch surfing from house to house as mm-hmm. a family, and that teen is kind of, you know, that's the first kid to kind of go, and it's not sometimes that the guidance isn't want to be present, but it's just so much going on, either financially, emotionally, that they can't be parents. So, you know, and sometimes single parent homes, it's a lot going on. These kids are dealing with a ton. You might have heard of my phone buzzing. Is That's a young man. He's actually up in Escondido right now at a group home. Had a really rough time. He's struggling. He's going through it really, really, really tough. His mom fell on hard times and had a mental issue. Mm-hmm. Had to go into care mentally.
For herself, okay.
So now he's in a group home situation finding himself in there and caught a case and AWOD and the whole nine. And now, you know what I mean? I made a deal with him today. And it's kids are dealing with a lot. And they're dealing with way more than a kid should have to, 16-year-old should have to deal with.
You're right. Yeah.
But, you know, that's life.
That's life. Yeah, you're right. But if this program can make life just a little bit easier,
right,
make that lemonade a little bit sweeter, you know, we definitely got to find a way to get you more spaces, bro, because I'm absolutely blown away by this.
No, I appreciate it.
You know, man. I really am. This is one of those shows where I'm definitely going to put my own money behind this and make sure that as many people as I can hear this, because this needs to be heard.
Well, I appreciate
it. You know, I'm definitely going to make sure I put out as much as I can into this. This is really good.
I appreciate
These young people come in here, they do music, they get a chance to essentially be a teenager that's into music. That's huge.
It is.
You know, I look at my own two little boys. I have a 9 and a 6-year-old. I'm blessed. Chanel and I are blessed. Yes. We live in a good neighborhood. They got the extras.
Absolutely.
I'm just going to leave it at that.
Absolutely.
They got the extras, right? But then I come down here. I used to train right there off 16th and K at the Undisputed. I used to train there. And I've seen these kids and their families. And I'm like, my God. I think about my own little boys. And I'm like, man, I don't know how I would feel as a parent if I'm in that situation.
Yeah.
And these people here are living this every day.
Every single day. And it's getting tougher and tougher to be homeless, too.
It is.
You know, it's really interesting situation. But when they get to be teenagers, it's like, all right, they go off, you know. The other thing that I would say, so these kids in the program, at the top level of our program, so we have a transitional age youth program.
Okay, I was going to ask you, are there different stages? Tell me about the stages of your program.
Right. So the high school program is exactly what we've been talking about. It's literally trading grades and good behaviors for studio time on a medium level, and it's just about meeting kids exactly where they're at. So kids come in, they have a 0.0 GPA and been to school in 10 years, or 5 years sometimes. Like, literally, we get kids that are just on the fringes. We engage them in this process. We meet them where they're at. So I'm not like, you got to clean up. No, we meet them right where they're at. So day one, they get in a class. As that class proceeds forward, right, what's your grades like? If you want to get a solo studio session instead of being in this class with all these kids, this is what you got to do. And that's when we lay out those deals. So that's the high school level. Sometimes these kids are talented enough to actually do this for a living. We have kids that, and then at that point, there's a select few that continue to push forward. They're like, I'm 18 now, I'm out of the program, what now? I'm like, I don't know. They're like, no, I want to do something. I want to do this for a living. Okay, let's figure out a way for you to learn how to freelance. So out of that came the secondary part of our program, where kids from 18 to 25 then that have graduated the other program are able to come in. They use this exact same studio, they freelance, so they are in here making money, $20 an hour, as long as they're at community college taking 12 units. So it's the same scenario. You're trading grades for studio time. But the vision is for these kids to be able to not only get an AA degree as they progress forward, they could either get their BA, but they're learning how to freelance. So we got the local arts community that's, oh my goodness, so many people have chipped in that are freelance videographers, freelance engineers, musicians, to mentor kids, to take them to that next level. And so the kids are able to come in, and instead of working 40 hours a week at Taco Bell, no disrespect to Taco Bell.
Yeah, it's a job, but yeah,
a job,
I get you.
Right. And then college floats off into the distance, and you never have any kind of push to do anything else at Taco Bell. Then Taco Bell, we allow them to make $20 an hour doing what they're passionate about. I cap their hours and how much they can work. And they have to go to school. So in that process, they're learning to freelance and to manage their money, to start a business. And at that 2-year point, they leave not only with the AA degree, but they leave with the relevant skills and the soft skills to be able to apply for a job.
Before you continue, when do you sleep?
That's a good question, man. It's a lot of work. You know what?
This is work.
There's committed people that are behind this, and not just me. So
I understand that, but brother.
Yeah. Yeah,
this is you are the face of this.
Yeah, and it is a lot of work. It really is.
But I'm looking at Bavillage. I'm over here looking at this man. He's smiling through it all.
I am.
This is love.
Yeah,
and it's beautiful when you at our age group, we're not old, we're just a little we got a few gray hairs and and that's about it, but that's stress. But you find your purpose. My purpose is to get you as much pub as I can.
I appreciate it, man.
And you are servicing San Diego, man, and that's just awesome. But please continue. I had to throw that in your village. Please tell me, finish up your thoughts about, you know,
business pod,
please finish that out.
No, that's pretty much what it is. The business pod program. That's the highest level of my vision right there. To be able to teach kids to fish, to get them the soft skills that they need to shake a hand, to write an email. You know what
Simple
I mean?
Simple things.
To manage their QuickBooks, to be able to pay their taxes, stuff that you're not going to learn necessarily in community college, but also to get that degree that they need, because this art thing is backwards and forth. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. And I tell them that. I mean, I freelance, it's difficult, but if you don't have those soft skills, you're not going to work. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. If you don't know how to literally get business, keep clients, you're not going to work. And in that process, though, they're gaining so much. It doesn't matter at the end of the day with me if they do music or if they don't do music or if they do engineering or videography. That doesn't matter to me. What matters is the love.
First off,
the love. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That's shown is a multiplier effect, because some of these kids from day one, I mean, they were set in the red birds versus the blue birds in first grade, the reading group. And they went along, they were told, you can't read, you're bad, you sit over here, and the good kids are going to be over here. And then that kept going on and on and on and on. Now they're 16 years old. They haven't had success in probably like 10 years. And for them to come into this studio and to receive love from mentors and to say, dude, that song, that verse, you killed that. You succeeded. You made a song. Or on a higher level, dude, you're able to do this for a living. If you really want to, I can show you a path where you can do this for a living. That's big.
That's huge,
it's big,
man.
Yeah, it's big. And you see the results of it. I mean, I give you a couple of results, man. There's a young lady named Livy, my little sister. She's my heart, man. She came in here 2 years of being on the run. Doing some stuff on the streets that it makes my stomach hurt to think about. Finally got caught and put back into the system, came back out and was in a group home. And actually where your wife was at the time. So she was down at that group home.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're talking about, yeah.
Yeah. And, and actually knowing that your wife was there makes it even more special to me, because there's so many good people in the system. You know what I mean? Sometimes people talk about this, but there's so many good people that are sprinkled in the system.
The unfortunate part is that we focus on the negative.
Right.
But there are thousands of caseworkers that are literally sitting in their office holding babies in the middle of the night.
Yep.
And I've seen those things. Man. So,
I say that, but... So anyway, this little girl, she came back into that situation.
Mm-hmm.
Her CASA, court-appointed special advocate, brought her here because she knew she loved to rap. The girl refused to go to school. We made the same deal I just told you I made with this young man.
Okay.
And, dude, in 18 weeks, first off, in 10 weeks, the girl went to school consistently for 10 weeks.
Okay.
After the 10th week, the 12th week, this girl had a 3.8 GPA.
Oh, my God.
A 3.8 GPA. So she was on the honor roll, principal's honor roll, for the very first time. And then, I mean, it's real. This isn't just a fairy tale. So then she AWOL'd a couple times. She left the group home when she wasn't supposed to. Ended up going back to juvenile hall. We were with her at her court date. She came back out, got back in the program, continued on consistently. Now she's graduated from the system. She's on her way to being a dog groomer. You know what I mean? There's some stories that where music stepped in at just the right time, and it was just what they needed, and we used that to meet them with mentorship. And this young lady's life is changed because of the investment. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
She's made some serious life decisions, and we were there in those moments where I was like, girl, I'm not following you that way. If you're going to go that way, that's on you. But I'm your big brother. I'm right here, and I'm telling you, this is not a good thing. Based on the relationship that we built in his music, she was able to stop for 2 seconds, think it over, and make a good decision. But that's credit to her.
Mm-hmm.
However, it's a credit to this music and this platform that we were even in the conversation.
Yeah, most definitely. Because the program, it gives these kids a different mindset, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
you know, some of these kids, like you said, they're coming in, they've been called failures
yes.
since the first day of school. Yep. And I don't know if y'all know Village, but when you when you deem these children failures mm-hmm. at such a young age, guess what? Mm-hmm. They carry that all the way through. And if someone doesn't step in and yes. say, no, you're not a failure.
Right.
Okay. You failed at this, but you as a human being are not a failure.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we need to focus on. You're not the failure. You failed at this. It's okay.
Yeah.
You're supposed to fail.
Mm-hmm.
But you as a person, you're still good to go.
Yep.
And so she definitely turned it around once she realized,
mm-hmm.
you know what? If I don't do this,
right.
I can't have this.
Yeah.
And it makes them pick what's more important.
Yeah.
And that's beautiful.
That's it, man. That's
yeah,
it.
Definitely. Definitely. Yeah. So in closing, man, mm-hmm. can you tell us anything else about David Hart Foundation? Just anything as far as how can people get a hold of you
mm-hmm.
If they just want to reach out, if they want to donate something Absolutely. To you. Please tell us all that. And mm-hmm. then also we discussed one of your proteges has yeah. a beat. Mm-hmm. So you're going to put that beat. So go ahead. And when you're done telling us about all that, shout mm-hmm. shout the beat out.
Okay.
Tell us who that is as
Absolutely.
Well.
Absolutely. Okay. So if you want to get in contact with us, we're at www.davidsharpfoundation.org. And it looks like David Sharp. So you could say at davidsharpfoundation.org. However you get there, you get there. And there, you can definitely contact us through that. But I will say, I want to give just if I could, I want to give back to the village, if that's all right.
No, go ahead. I appreciate you, man. Yeah, I appreciate it.
I want to just be able to kind of tell about a little bit about the philosophy, because there's a crossover here. What we do is we build lasting relationships with youth. But the model that we use, you can use in your own life to build lasting relationships with people. And I mm-hmm. want to encourage people to do this. So how I instruct the instructors is like this. We all have a flashlight. Right. We have a flashlight, and we have two options with that flashlight. We can either use it to shine on someone else and keep, you know, point out their flaws, their issues, their struggles. Sometimes with our coworkers or whoever it is, we use that flashlight to just kind of get the spotlight off us. We can either do that, or we can take that flashlight. We can turn it above our head, let that light shine down on us where people can really see who we are. Our flaws and our successes.
Mm-hmm.
That means like being honest and transparent with people about who you are. And in that process, you allow people the option to come into that light with you if they're willing, where you can have an open and honest conversation.
Yes, sir.
Especially for parents right now. If you're a parent of a teen, you know, I can't stress this enough. People think they need to be the perfect role model, but your kids see your flaws. They see them whether you think they do or they don't.
Mm-hmm.
The antidote to that is for you to just be real, you know, and that might sound something like this. Your mom might say, hey, I need you to clean your room. How come you never clean your room? And the kid might say, look at him and roll her eyes. Well, what she doesn't know is he sees your car. You know what I mean? He sees where you at, right?
That's the truth.
And I'm just being real. But what he doesn't know is you're telling him that because you love him. You don't want him to go through the same things that you've been through. You know the right way, and you struggle to do that yourself. Now, you can take that and apply it to anything. But the model is this. If for 2 seconds you can stop, and if you're having a bad day with your kid, this will melt your teenager's heart in 2 seconds. If you stop, say, hey, can I talk to you for a second? Man, I'm just really having a bad day. You know what? I was struggling at work today, and here's what happened. And, you know, I'm just going through it. And then you stop and they probably won't even respond. You just get up and keep it pushing. You do that enough, your teen's heart will melt in front of you, because that transparency, that realness,
mm-hmm.
they know you're not perfect. When you put on that perfect front, it's hypocritical. And at the same time, they see that you're not. So that melting of that thawing, I'll call it, of the teenage heart comes through transparency and you being honest. Eventually you get into that place where they'll come to you and be like, look, I'm having a hard day. And you'll hear some stuff that you thought you would never hear. So I just want to encourage the village. I really do. This is a time where if you're having struggles with relationships, especially with young people,
mm-hmm.
they're looking for real. That's all they're looking for. They're not looking for perfect. If you try to make it look perfect, they'll reject it 100 times out of 100. But if you just are real with it, man, you will have a voice in that kid's life. You'll earn a voice. So that's what I want to lead a village. Now, my little brother Horace, who's a monster on these beats, mm-hmm. he is a monster. I want you to hear him. He's gonna take you out.
Okay.
Okay.
For sure.
All right.
Village. I'm in the studio with Brandon Stepp. Mm-hmm. This is the David Harp Foundation. Yeah. Y'all heard it. Y'all heard this man's words. Y'all see what he's doing. Mm. Y'all go to that website. See what he's doing. If you got something you can donate, make that donation.
Please.
If you're not using it and you think he can use it, hit him up.
Please.
Let him tell you that he can't use it. Mm. That he's not able to use your equipment or whatever the case may be. This is amazing, brother.
Thank you, man.
This is absolutely amazing. Mm. I wish I would have known about this much sooner.
Right. Well, you know now.
I know now. Yeah. And like I said, when we're ready to cut this and put this out, bro, I'm going to make sure I pump this as hard as I can.
I appreciate it.
Because you definitely got a thing going on. And I'm going to be real with you. Mm. I'm kind of upset that we can't get more kids.
It's going to happen.
It's going to happen.
Yes,
but I'm ready to help you now. Like, East County, wherever, bro. Mm-hmm. Like, it don't matter, man.
Yeah.
So, Village, to get a hold of me, I am at Enlighten My Mind. I also handle the Village Twitter handle at W2TheVillage. You can also get a hold of me, 619-202-1562. You can email us at welcometothevillage@gmail.com. Website is under construction. I never remember the full website name. I don't have my little cheat sheet in front of me.
Yeah.
But Village, get a hold of this man, okay? You said your man Horace is taking us out?
He's taking us out.
Man. All right, Horace taking us out. Bro, this is for you. Appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
Village, we love y'all. God bless you. Have a great night. Go on.